Okay. So, I'm Israeli. I was born in Israel during the Yom Kippur War. And therefore, please excuse any mispronunciations in English. I've been working in the field of trauma for the past 25 years. I started in sexual abuse, and I managed a domestic violence treatment center. And for the past 7 years, I've been the director for Wurzweiler in Israel, the School for Social Work for Yeshiva University, while running a private practice dealing with trauma. When October 7th hit, I have four children. My three older children were called up to serve. And I am sorry, I'm sharing this with you because, as Dr. Brahm said, and as we just heard Rabbi Perez, this is something that we all are a part of. It's a shared trauma. It's not a personal trauma, and that could bring us some feelings of comfort and solace, but it can also be something that's very heavy to carry everybody together. So what happened on October 7th basically caught us all by surprise. And Dr. Danny Brum, he expanded on the different layers and the characteristics of what happened and how surprising it was. We all came with this notion that we were Israel is the nation that will always conquer and always prevail, and we were not expecting this, and it created a crack in our basic assumptions that we're safe, that we can handle it, that our army will be there, and that's what created, I think, this huge event that we're all discussing and sharing, both on a personal level, like we just heard, and more on a national level for everyone. So in order to understand this a little better, we need to differentiate between crisis and trauma, and definitely PTSD, as Dr. Brum suggested. Crisis is the extreme event that takes place. That is what happened 6:30 in the morning, Simchat Torah, and continued throughout the day. Trauma is the body and the brain's reactions to that event. And we cannot address the trauma without considering what happened and the crisis. So when we're understanding these situations, then the trauma is the event. Let's say there's a shooting in a shul or a fire or a war or a car accident. That is the crisis. And the trauma is how we react to that event, which can be diverse. What we have found is that when we go into trauma mode, we usually function on three basic assumptions. We all have the notion that we have agency, that we have ability, that if something will happen, we'll know what to do. If we get into a car accident, we'll know how to react. We'll know how to figure it out. We'll know what to do. We'll call the insurance. We'll call MADA, 911, whatever it is, and we'll get the help we need. We have agency, we have ability. The second assumption is that we're safe. You are all sitting in a home or in an office, knowing that the floor is going to hold you. There's a sense of safety that allows us to conduct ourselves in this world. And the third assumption is that there's cause and effect. If I abide by the rules of the traffic, I won't get into an accident. There's if I do X, then the effect will be Y. And what happens when there's a crisis, when there's a traumatic event, usually are one, two, or all three of these assumptions are broken. We are in shock. We don't feel we're helpless. We don't feel we have agency. People went into our homes and into our country. There's no sense of safety. And we were sitting and being, we didn't do anything to instigate anything. We were sitting and some of us going to shul, some of us coming back from shul, some of us sleeping in, whatever it was. And we didn't do anything to instigate this, and this happened. And therefore, the breaking of all three assumptions create an instinctive reaction, as Dr. Braun said. And there are three major reactions to trauma: fight, flight, and freeze. What happens is that the brain exudes two hormones, adrenaline and cortisol, and depending on the amount that it's going to exude, that's how we react. And unfortunately, when it comes to severe situations, the brain exudes so much adrenaline and cortisol that we go into fright, into freeze mode. I know about myself that this all happened on Shabbat. Sunday, I just was, there was nobody to talk to. I was literally walking around the house. There was no one there. I didn't know how to manage myself and get myself out of that freeze kind of situation. It was such a huge shock. Everybody was just, it took me a whole day to get over it and to start functioning properly and normally the next day. I know of other people that it took them much longer. So it's the pace is different, and what we try to do, what happens is in these kind of situations that there are a few common feelings that someone goes through when they're feeling a traumatic event. And those common feelings have to do with shame. I'm ashamed that I, because I didn't have the agency and I was helpless and I didn't know what to do. I feel guilty that I'm not functioning and that I'm not doing what I need to be doing. I'm angry. And I'm angry at many, 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 many different aspects. I could be angry at the government. I could be angry at the Ribbono Shel Olam for making this happen. I can be angry at my family for not protecting me. I can be ang the anger can it doesn't have it's not rational, but it's a feeling that does come up. There's a sense of helplessness and fear. There's a sense of confusion where I'm like trying to I can't focus and I can't get things right. But it's not only that. It's really like dissociations and situations where I can't even think straight, basically. Those are the main situations that come up. And what happens is that the brain is taking all its energy to survive. And it's looking for security, for stability, and for survival in order to survive. And therefore, we're in a sense of not knowing. Is it safe? Is there food? Is there shelter? Is there clothing? Is there transportation? Can I leave the house? Can I not leave the house? Will there be a siren? Will there not be a siren? What is going to happen? The human is in a hyper stance of hyper vigilance, where they feel that they're like always alert and on. There's a feeling, the main feeling that happens in these kind of situations where my agency is taken away, my safety is taken away, the way the world usually works of having consequences is taken away is a huge feeling where I don't have control. I'm not in control of what's going on. And holding that unknown is extremely difficult. So what we're trying to do for ourselves and for others is we're trying to move from the shock and the freeze mode to motion and function. And we have to understand that for some people, that can happen really quickly. And for other people, it takes time. And the pace is individual and different depending on the situation and on what's going on. It's also not always linear. But it there's motion, and one day I can wake up feeling, oh, okay, I have agency, and I can actually do things, and I can hold it, and I can get on with things. And then something happens, and a half an hour later, I'm feeling all these feelings where I'm triggered, and I'm feeling shame or guilt or anger, or I'm not concentrating, and understanding that these are extremely normal reactions to a very extreme situation, an unnormal situation. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to contain our anxiety and our emotions. We're trying to regulate ourselves. When if we think of anxiety as a cup of water, when we have a splash of water on the floor, it's not contained, it floods us. But when we can contain it, when we can put it into a vessel, then the water is contained, and we can actually hold it and see it, and it's not overwhelming as the feeling. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to see how we can contain the feelings that we're feeling and regulate us. We in order to do that, we need to be in a stance where we're not judging ourselves. We're not saying, oh, why am I doing this and why am I not doing this and I can't function and my neighbor Chaya Malka, she's doing all these things and she's running out and she's making food for soldiers and she's jumping around and whatever, and I can't get myself moving. The comparisons aren't helpful. I had a friend who I was talking to, another social worker who was telling me how they were sitting at a table. And each was saying, oh, yes, I've been volunteering here and I've been bringing food and I've been packing, I've been getting donations and I've been packing different, chavilot, packages for the chayalim. And then somebody pips up and says, I've been keeping my mental health. 'Cause that's what they've been doing. That's where their energy is. And that's not less, there's no, scale of more or less. And you have to be in a place where you can take that legitimacy for yourself to say, yeah, that's, I'm doing what I can be doing, and that is good. And focus on concrete functions. So what are the few variables that affect this trauma or any trauma? One is the time frame. Usually I know that if something happens and I need to really recruit all my energies and my resources for a certain amount of time, then I can manage it. I know that on the date, on the 28th of February, things are going to be different. I know I can manage until the 28th of February. But here, we don't have an end date. This has been going on for almost 4 months, and we've been keeping up that energy of function is very difficult. So understanding that and accepting that allows us to also prepare and allows us to be in that motion and not to expect from ourselves more than what we can do. But also understanding it gives it some sort of legitimacy and some sort of a frame that this is okay. The people talk about PTSD. For P, you have to be post. We're not post yet. We're the post-traumatic stress disorder only is 3 months after the event. We're not after yet. We're in it. And therefore, understanding that is extremely important. The other aspect that would affect how we'll deal is what are support systems. They say that many times the essence of feeling trauma is isolation. And the antidote to that is support, is being with people, is even what's going on now in with the soldiers. What they're doing is they before they leave Gaza or before they let them come home, they have all these circles of support. It's called Maagaleit Micha, Maagalei Siach. The discussing and talking about it together, everybody that was there, the shared experience, we can support each other, we understand each other, and we can be there for each other. And being together is a huge part of what will affect the trauma. And another thing that is a huge stressor or an effect is our exposure. When I dealt with sexual abuse, then one of the criteria for being sexually abused was being exposed to pornography. And seeing that when you're not ready to see it, when you're not choosing to see it, when it's not something that you know how to process, is abuse. What happened in nine on October 17th, sorry, on October 7th, was that everything we had no control. So in a means to gain control, we were stuck on the news. We were trying to see information. We were trying to understand what is happening, what's going on. I need to know. I need to know. I need to know. And Ricky Bernstein calls this terror pornography, where you're constantly seeing more. You're exposing yourself, and you're seeing more. You're not helping yourself. Being able, you have to be in the know. You have to know what's going on, but it needs to be in a limited way and in a limited form that will give you the information, but not expose you to extra situations which are difficult to handle and which aren't helpful. So what do we do in order to help ourselves to move to the resilience, to what Rabbi Perez was talking about regarding holding both the pain and the joy? The first thing we want to do is to have a routine, to think, what can I do? What I can get up in the morning, I can go to shul, I can get dressed, I can have a routine and have it spelled out. And these are functions that you can do. And instead of being frozen in bed watching TV or your phone or whatever it is, you're actually doing. And that doing creates the motion, creates the function. Try to list enjoyable and beneficial activities and incorporate into your daily routine, whether it's being active, whether it's going out to nature, whether it's music, whether it's baking or cooking, whether it's saying Tehillim, whatever it is that makes you feel that gives you purpose and that makes you feel good, it's to incorporate into your daily routine. The other parts is to really ground yourself and support yourself. Create a support system for you, for yourself, that will work, that will make it manageable. If people aren't being supportive, then they're not the right people. The we said before, no judgment, no comparisons. Being supportive is being able to be with each other and know that you're understood and that you have the legitimacy to feel what you're feeling, good or bad, and that it's okay. And the most important thing, I think, is to find meaning. If creating and that, I think, is where this amazing nation of ours came together in giving meaning by working together, in giving meaning by doing things for each other. That's when you become meaningful for another human being, that's the greatest meaning. And finding the different activities where you are doing something for somebody else and giving of yourself gives you meaning. So all the slogans of "Biyachad Nenatzeach" and "Together we'll come through," they're amazing slogans. Not because they're a slogan, but because the meaning of that is that we're here together and we're going to work together and we're going to support each other together, and that's how we're going to get through this. So that is extremely important. Now, I would suggest for everybody to have different, like a different toolkit that will allow them to benefit. And the toolkit could be really, really simple, whether it's breathing, putting your hands on your stomach and just taking three deep breaths. Allows oxygen to come in, allows you to take a moment and contain the anxiety that you're feeling, contain whatever it is, and just give you energy for the rest of the day. Whether it's meditation or mindfulness exercises that you can incorporate into your daily routine. Problem solving. Again, you're taking back control. You're dealing with what you can. You are finding a problem and you're seeing how you can solve it, not asking somebody else to do it. You yourself, so that you feel that you have agency, that you're able. Cognitive restructuring, Dr. Brum touched on it a little bit before. The thoughts that are helpful to you, thoughts that aren't helpful to you, notice them and say for, to yourself, wait a minute, do I really want to go there? Now, sometimes we there are thoughts that come up that are scary. What if something like this will happen to my ch like I had three kids in? What if the knock will come on my door? What's going to happen there? And I found for myself that if I didn't get too overwhelmed by those thoughts, and I could just allow myself to hold them and to be with them for a minute without them really taking over, it helped me process. It helped me take back control. So if it's helpful for you, great. If it's not helpful for you, then see how you can change the thought and the narrative to what will be helpful for you. And as both Dr. Brahm and I are constantly saying, reinforce social connections. Those are really, really, really important. Because that's the that's how we process things. That's how we work through things. That's what gives us comfort. So finding the social support that you need, that's the important kind of basis to how we can move forward from this. Now, sometimes people will as Dr. Brahm said, not everyone is gonna develop PTSD. Not everyone is, I think everyone is in some sort of crisis. And everyone's feeling something because of what happened. But for not everyone, it's going to become something pathological. For most of us, especially if we can take this and reinforce the meaning that we can create from this and regain some sense of control for ourselves, we'll be able to learn how to continue functioning while expanding our vessel, our inner vessel, to hold, as Rabbi Peres said, both the joy and the pain. What we do in therapy usually is not eliminate what happened. We don't eliminate the event. We don't go back into your mind and hypnotize you and change your memory. What happens in therapy is that you process, and the processing helps you feel less of the pain and understand what the narrative that happened to you in a way that you can grow from it. But it's not feeling the pain. It's not taking it away. So by creating a social structure that allows us the legitimacy to feel and to be, we can slowly but surely move forward with what is going on. If people feel that, if somebody feels that they can't cope, then it is important to get help. Wurzweiler opened a clinic, and that's something that anybody can in Jerusalem in English for therapy, for subsidized therapy. So if you want, you can always turn there. But as we've discussed before, there's EMDR, there's somatic experience, there's so many ways and forms to get help. And we have to find what works for us, for each individual. And as Donnie also said, not everybody's going to need it. We all need support. We all need meaning. We all need a shared sense of where of a purpose. But we're not all going to have to be in a situation where we're all going to need help. So I'm opening it up for questions. I can't talk and read at the same time, so if I'm happy to see if there are any questions.
Yeah. If anybody has any questions, thank you very much. Any discussion, we have about a minute and a half for questions, so you can unmute yourself. That's probably the easiest. There are just a couple of comments in the chat box thanking you for your talk,
Oh,
but
okay.
no questions. Thank you very much. But if anybody has any questions, speak up now or hold your breath. Okay. Thank you. Listen, it's, Okay, bakasha. Okay, thank you very much. Really, a pleasure. It's very powerful listening to everybody, and especially since all three speakers and now our fourth speaker, Eli Beer, who I see, will all of you live in Israel. It's I think I don't know how different it is and what the people say, how trauma for it was alluded to a little before. People living outside of Israel, people living inside of Israel obviously experience it differently. And it's kind of interesting. I don't know if you want to comment that for 30 seconds. You want to
I
make a comment
can.
on that?
Yes,
Yeah,
I can.
sure.
I said before that there were different reactions to trauma, shame, and helplessness. And one of the reactions is anger. And I found that many times when people from abroad can't connect to what's going on to here in Israel, or don't connect in the way that is beneficial for the person here in Israel, then that can create a lot of anger. And I just want to say that we have to remember that support and community is not always agreeing with each other, but it's being able to understand each other. It's being able to be there for each other. And I think the society in Israel has proven this really, really strongly in the last few months. And hopefully we can take that and move forward with that.
Okay, thank you very much. We will get started in about 30 seconds. Eli Beer, nice to see you. Hello.